today we're going to talk about the great name of Jesus. What a title. I think we'll be blessed as we look at the Word of God together and as we study these seven verses. Let's turn together to Philippians, the second chapter, and I'll start reading with verse 5 and read down to verse 11. Why don't we stand together as we look at this incredible scripture that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippian church. Philippians chapter 2 and starting with verse 5. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, I'm in verse 8, by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You may be seated within God's Word. We're going to go through seven verses and look at what God is saying to us out of His magnificent Word. We started with verse 5. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. The attitude of Christ Jesus. In all things, Christ means for us to think like Him, believe like Him, have a relationship with the total Godhead. We hear so much, and rightly we should, about having a relationship with Jesus. But I believe that God means for us to have a relationship with the entire Godhead, with the Trinity, our dear Heavenly Father, our wonderful Savior, Christ Jesus, our teacher and our comforter, the Holy Spirit. He means for us to have a relationship with the entire Trinity. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 6 goes on to say, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. Christ was never reaching. There was no pride in Jesus. He made no demands for anything on himself. Now, he existed, as Scripture says right here, in the form of God. He's eternal. He always was, always is, always will be. But have you ever thought of the fact that it was his decision for the incarnation? You think, well, he was born as a baby, that started the whole thing. But that's not accurate, because he was always God. And it was the decision of the entire Trinity, including Jesus, for him to be born as a baby, walk amongst us as a man, to die, to rise, and to come again. It was always his decision with the Godhead to be incarnated. They decided this together in eternity past. Let's look at verse 7. It says, but emptied himself, taking on the form of a bond servant and being made in the likeness of men, emptied himself. The Father and the Spirit didn't require Jesus to empty himself. He took it on himself to empty himself. He did it himself. This is a theological term called the kenosis. Now, the kenosis means emptying. That's what the Greek literally means. It means emptying. He emptied himself of the divine attributes, but he did not empty himself of divinity. Christ was always divine. Now, he chose to empty himself that all the earth didn't immediately fall before him, that all things didn't finish their accomplishment as they will before him. But he took on the form, it says here in this scripture, of a bondservant. Now, because he took on the form of a bondservant, he was always looking to his Father, God, and always listening and obeying the Spirit. So the Trinity was functioning as Christ walked the earth. Christ divine, but didn't walk in the total attributes of divinity at that point. Emptied himself and took on the form of us, men. Being made in the likeness of men, it says. So he took on manhood. He was the model man. He was the perfect man, meaning he was tempted, but completely unfailing. He was tried by the fires of this life, but he was always victorious. He experienced pain. He experienced loneliness, sorrow, betrayal, even death like us, but he was not us. Let's look at verse 8 as we work through this. It says, "In being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." So he was still divine as he walked among us. As a matter of fact, he walked on water. He raised the dead. He multiplied bread to feed 4,000, multiplied bread to feed 5,000. So he did 9,000 men at two different points. He shone his face on the top of that Mount of Transfiguration. His face shone like the sunburst in its full strength. He fought Lucifer, fought Satan, literally fought him in the wilderness. At his weakest point, I don't know how many times you fasted 40 days and 40 nights in a row, but at his weakest point, he fought the greatest demon of all, Lucifer himself. He gave up his spirit at the cross willingly, and then, as you know, he strode right out of that grave trap. It says here he humbled himself. Now, life didn't humble Jesus the way that life humbles us. Temptation didn't consume him in the same way that temptation can consume us. Failure, it wasn't failure that made Christ. Sickness didn't form him. Now, I've experienced some sickness. Maybe you have too. But it says in Hebrews 5, verse 8, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. He suffered betrayal. He suffered the Father turning away from him at Calvary. He suffered people not believing in him, even though he did spectacular miracles. And I still believe he could do that same kind of miracles if he was born in our generation and people would still not go with it. It wouldn't be enough. But he suffered and he learned obedience to the Father and the Spirit. By the way, there's a new song that came out, and it's a lot of these people don't understand. They say that only Christ is seated on the throne only Jesus. That's not accurate. The Father is seated on the throne of God. At his right hand is Christ Jesus right now. Around the throne is the Spirit. So the whole Trinity, when you look, and you will someday, at the throne of God, you will see the Trinity with the Spirit around the throne, the Father seated, and the Son at the right hand of the Father. But his self-humility was like none other. He was obedient, it says right here in this scripture, to the point of death, even death on a cross. Now, crucifixion, and you know the history, is one of the worst of all possible deaths. The Romans had perfected this thing over centuries, this crucifixion, and people, they did it publicly so that all would fear Rome. It was unimaginable pain, the cruelty, the exposure to the elements, severe pain, no possible relief, and the thing the Romans had perfected is that it was slow. Christ was obedient even to that death. It says in verse 9, therefore God highly exalted him because Christ had been obedient right through his entire life, even the conclusion of his life of death on the cross, and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. It's the Father. He's the one that has spectacularly exalted Christ. The Father doesn't just honor him, not just recognize him, exalt him. He exalted him. Now, Webster defines this exaltation as elevation in power, rank, dignity, estimation, even to the point of magnifying and praising. So the Father has established that Christ Jesus is meant to be praised. That started with the Father. He's established the praise to be on Jesus. It says the name which is above every name. It's above every president. I don't care how many laws he can do or what kind of power he has. The name above every king, prime minister, ruler, dictator, or world leader. The name Jesus. The name Jesus is the name above all names. When I hear somebody use the Lord's name Jesus in vain, I just wince. Because it is meant to be honored, esteemed, praised above every name. Let's look at verse 10. It says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. How many? Every knee of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Bowing in fear, in reverence, in honor, in recognition, in subservience, in unquestioning obedience. It's literal kneeling. On your knees, world. That's literally going to happen. All of creation, on your knees, creation. And it means a literal. We as the Church of Jesus Christ need to understand the magnitude of this verse. It talks about every knee of those who are in heaven. In other words, the seraphim above the throne that are worshiping. On your knees, seraphim. Cherubim that guard the throne. On your knees. the living creatures that Scripture talks about, the archangel Michael bowing on his knees, the great messenger Gabriel on his knees, the angelic massive hosts of heaven, all those in heaven kneeling. What a vision, what a thought, what a magnitude of the power and glory of the Trinity, of the Godhead. It says on earth, I believe this is talking about the believers, the prophets, the apostles, the redeemed, get this, from Adam, who I believe is part of the redeemed community. God clothed him. He did put him out of the garden, but God clothed him, a sign of redemption when he was naked. But from Adam all the way to the last believer at the end of the millennium. Is this stretching your mind? I hope so. From Adam to the last believer at the end of the millennium, all those on earth will bow. In other words, all believers from all ages, their knee will bow. But it goes on from there. You'd think that'd be enough to have all of heaven bowing before him or all of earth bowing before him. But it says those under the earth. This is talking about the big guy. This is talking about Lucifer. This is talking about the demons. This is talking about all the strong men of history. This is talking about everyone under the earth, even the Antichrist, the beast, even the false prophet, all of them, and all the damned of all ages bowing their knee, all the damned. So it's everything under the earth. Verse 11 in the last one says this, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Every tongue confessing. This means every time you hear some blasphemer speaking the Lord's name in vain or blaspheming, his tongue, her tongue will confess. Every murderer, every rapist, every God-hater, every atheist that does not believe there is a God, their tongue will confess Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It's the Father's glory that is fulfilled at that confession. The Father has ordained it. He has determined that every tongue under the earth, on the earth, in heaven, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Now, they have a choice, so do you. You can confess him now, and we're going to have a chance to do this in a moment. You can confess him now, or you can confess him on Judgment Day. Choose. You can confess him now in this life, or you will confess him, you will confess him on Judgment Day before the great white throne of God. Either way, all will confess. So where have we been? We've been talking about in verse 5, in all things to have the attitude of Jesus Christ, a total relationship with the Godhead, loving and honoring and revering the Father, understanding the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and having a relationship with him, and listening and obeying the magnificent Holy Spirit. In verse 6, we learned about the incarnation, that it was Jesus' decision, the incarnation. In verse 7, he emptied himself as a bondservant, and we're meant to do the same, to empty ourselves as a bondservant, not looking for any acclamation, not looking for any praise, not reaching for anything. So when you serve the Lord, when you play the piano, when you sing, when you give, not looking for anything, in the same way that Jesus wasn't looking for any kind of honor back to him, but the Father certainly did it. He certainly honored him, but Christ wasn't looking for it. In verse 7, it says he emptied himself as a bondservant, but it goes right on into verse 8 to say he appeared as a man. Yet he was divine. He humbled himself. Oh, church, humble ourselves before the Lord, even to the point of death. In verse 10, it says, every knee, this is a literal kneeling in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And in verse 11, every tongue confesses now or at judgment day. So, what do you want to do? Do you want to confess Jesus, or do you want to confess your own self? Do you want to confess the ways of the world or the ways of heaven? If you want to confess Jesus, stand. The great name Jesus. The great name. I will say a phrase of one of his names, and then you will say, Jesus, right? And don't be shy. Let it go. This is your chance to confess the name Jesus. King of kings, Jesus. Lord of lords, Jesus. The good shepherd, Jesus. Seated at the right hand of the Father, Jesus. Bright morning star, Jesus. Dayspring, Jesus. Will you ever forget what we're doing? I hope you never forget what we're doing right now. The Alpha, Jesus. The Omega, Jesus. Soon returning King, Jesus. Bridegroom of the church, Jesus. The Anointed One, Jesus. Messiah, Jesus. The Creator, Jesus. The First, Jesus. The Last, Jesus. The Lord, Jesus. God Almighty, Jesus. The name above every name, Jesus. The great name of Jesus. God bless you.